Jack Darlings is not going to light room, tell us. Huh? And you, then tell us what you're going to light it for, Jack.
Since the inception of the Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society 25 years ago, it has been, I believe, a very unique and successful congregation. The future of Prairie can perhaps be best expressed by the words in the inscription over the entrance to the National Archives of Washington, D.C. And the words, very simply, are three: past and prologue.
I've been asked to give a brief history of the development of Prairie, but you all really have quite a chronology here on the sheet. But I do want to tell you that a great deal of work went into the beginning of Prairie. It was a source of discussion for several years at the First Society, and we have a letter from Max Gabler. I'll just read a little bit of it, but it will tell you the reason why it was so important for a second group to be started. And he apologizes for not being able to be here. Max has been very supportive over the years, but he's been working with the Sauk City Free Congregation, and they're marking their annual Founders Day today. And that has been in the planning for some time, so he don't have to be there. But he says, I remember well, of course, the beginning of Prairie. Those were the days when, like the old woman who lived in a shoe, we had so many children at the First Unitarian Society that we didn't know what to do. We already had two complete services on Sunday morning and church school sessions, and a third service on Friday evening. So we started what was to become the Prairie Society under the neutral and rather uninspiring label of a, quote, fourth session of a church school, leaving the adults involved to organize in whatever way they chose. I didn't remember it quite that way. We knew that if some families who came to the First Society had to be told, sorry, we just don't have any more space for a third grader. You'll have to go somewhere else. And so for several years, Max had been urging people to think about starting a new church on the west side of Madison. But Roland Parrish was president at that time, and Bernine Davidson, who joined us this morning, was vice president. Roland found that some land was for sale out on the west side of Madison, and the man who had it for sale was so pleased to think that a church might be erected on the site, so he purchased it for the First Society, thinking at the time that eventually a church would be built there. Partly one hillside is still Prairie and is kept by the University Arboretum and is full of past flowers in the spring. It's from that land that we got our name. I'll tell you a little more of what happened. As I understand it, at the General Assembly of the UUA that met in Denver in the summer of 1967, Max persuaded Avis Parrish and her husband, who was president of the First Society, to meet with a group of families on the west side and start this second congregation. Many of the families had names that began with B for some reason. And I'm not sure whether the Barongs were in that group or not, but I think you were.
But I don't think that's the case, but a lot of families, two children, could not go to church school.
Living evidence. In that fall, we met, Max happened to mention attention at a meeting of the ministers in town that we needed a space. After all, we had the First Society had some land, but no building where the Muslim congregation meet. And Monsignor Wirtz, the director of Holy Name Seminary on the west side, said, oh, you could meet in our building. You could use the classrooms. And there is one lounge that the adults could use. So we met there, about 60 children in the church school and about 50 adults coming for the service. Actually, my husband and I didn't make the decision to join the group right away, but each Sunday the service sounded so interesting that we found ourselves going and continued going. We met at Holy Name Seminary for 2 years. And Monsignor Wirtz loves to tell the story that the first Sunday we were there, one of the students leaned out the window and played his, I guess, the trombone, and the saints come marching up. He rushed up the dormitory steps to tell the student, oh, you shouldn't be playing that. But obviously we had to drive to get there, and we were interested in possibly having students join us. So after 2 years, we arranged to use space at the downtown YWCA using their Esther Pilas Lounge, which at that time was a beautiful room on the second floor. It was L-shaped, but posed problems for meeting. The speaker had to stand in a very special place so that she could be seen by everyone. But it had beautiful red carpeting on the floor that made it seem very elegant. And plenty of room for the church school. During that time, the winter of 68, the committee met together and we voted to decide to become a separate group from the First Society. We were originally a branch, and our pledges went to the First Society and they were supporting Prairie. But we voted to become independent. The committee later was meeting at the First Society, since we had no building where we could have such meetings. Max learned of this and said that he knew that the UUA could give special help to a new congregation starting. Would we want him to inquire about this? And he thought, well, it won't hurt. So he did. And for 3 weeks that spring, a visiting minister came to Madison, stayed in three different homes. Actually, I'm not sure whether it was 3 weeks or 6 weeks. Maybe Bob can more than 6 weeks. Okay, so maybe then. Anyway, his name was Lanier Clance. He was a Southerner. He visited individually with every family that was in the group to find out their interests and desires. Gave one service only for us. We had outside speakers and our own members conduct the services, but he conducted the last one before he left. He did have a profound effect on us. Later, I think George will mention one of his distinguishing characteristics. And he urged us, first of all, to be sure to have a newsletter. He said that's extremely important. And shortly after that, we bought a typewriter and paid someone a small amount to publish a newsletter. For a strange set of circumstances, I knew that he had a church in Atlanta. So I telephoned him, and we have a delightful letter from him. I will just read a little of it. He said, I was deeply moved when I received a phone call from Pat Cotley. I was extremely excited to hear about your survival and celebration of 25 years. I remember vividly, here it is, my 6 weeks with you in the late 60s. I was impressed and continue to be impressed with the unique and powerful spiritual community you have created and maintained. I deeply respect your continued commitment to a community where you all minister to each other and to your own community. I continue to believe strongly that lay-led communities are the natural and logical expression of the Unitarian Universalist philosophy. And he also says, I received some of the best personal publicity on my work with abortion rights and choice in local Madison newspapers. I also remember reading a short article about the ecology movement at that time. I played poker the only time in my life with some of you. Had the opportunity to affirm my own belief that ordained ministers could provide some services and consultation to individually led UU societies. I wish you all the best, given the intellectual, social, and religious reaction of the past decades. You need to celebrate your survival a lot. I appreciate your remembrance of me and whatever contribution you feel I have made to your survival. I think he was genuinely surprised that we still. He is pastor of the first existentialist congregation.
Wow.
In Atlanta.
Maybe we had some effect on him.
It's affiliated with the UUA. And I have a copy of a recent newsletter for those of you who would like to see it. Well, we became a separate society shortly, and as I mentioned, moved to the Y during the first year at the Y. Many people in the group wished to have a minister, but we couldn't afford a full-time one, and we engaged Dave Meyer, who at that time was a theological student in Chicago. He and his wife Pat moved up here, and were privileged to have David with us. Will you stand briefly? Dave and Pat became very good friends of all of us. They directed Camp Unistar in the summer and just added so much to our group. But we realized that he was not being paid adequately and that we really couldn't pay a minister adequately. And there was controversy within the group as to whether we wanted a minister or not. At about the time that David left, a committee on planning came up with the suggestion for lay ministry. Having a lay minister work in that role for 3 months at a time, and therefore having 3 lay ministers during the year. And this chronology lists many of them and many of the themes that they've had over the past. After 2 years at the Y, again, we felt the need to move, and Portal Foster was a school at that time run by one of the members of our group, Franklin French. So we made arrangements to move there and stayed there until 1978, I believe. It really was our home. And if the school had not said they needed to make physical changes in the large auditorium where we met, we probably wouldn't have moved. I mean, it was our home. It was centrally located, you know, right near Monroe Street. We talked about the Prairie Ghetto extending west of there because many members lived within walking distance, and we really loved it. But we had to move, it seemed. And we moved to a church over on the east side only about a mile and a half, at the most 2 miles away, but it seemed way across town for people. It was an old church that was currently occupied by the Montessori school. And the Montessori school has loads of equipment all around, so that we were entertained by the sound of hamsters running in their cages and so on. And more equipment was moved in, and we realized that the space for adults was diminishing. So we felt, and with the help of a UUA advisor, we're convinced that we would eventually disappear if we stayed in that location. So the congregation at a meeting that November voted unanimously to try to purchase a building. I think it's the only time we've ever had it. And so we moved into this church, I believe, in 1980, and we have been in here since. And as you, many of you know, some of the structure was changed. Actually, I'm so busy, we are privileged to have the first president of Prairie, Bob Cale, here this morning. Won't you stand, Bob?
Yep.
We thought that several other past presidents were going to be here, and we're so disappointed that they couldn't. Joan Burns was planning to come, but because of the beautiful weather, she and her husband felt they needed to go up to their cottage on the lake. And I expected Marv Werfel and his wife here. They're not. We hope that Charlie Davidson could come, but he has responsibility at the First Society. But the need is here. Do stand up. We'll hope when we get to the reminiscences that each of you will speak some. I've talked too long, I'm sorry. But it is an exciting history. And Lanier said, or Max says, you should write it up in a new world. Maybe we will.
In a little while, we'll all stand up and sing Precious Memories. When Pat was speaking and she referred to Lanier Clance, our six-week minister, some precious memories came to mind. Lanier was a member of the Southern Existentialist philosophy branch of Unitarianism. And I had been doing marriage counseling at the time, and I remember Lanier came over to me and said, George, why are people getting married? It's such an outmoded institution. Lanier also could never spell prairie. In the newsletter, it was he wrote the newsletter, and it came out P-O-P-H-R-A-I-R, prairie. And week after week, the prairie news came out. And I remember his another precious memory service he gave. He wore some sort of oriental shirt, and there was incense, and he passed out bourbon shot glasses and poured bourbon in each of them, and we all toasted to the prairie with our bourbon. That, I presume, is part of Southern existentialism. Well, let's start by singing Precious Memories on page 37. As I look around the group, there are living precious memories, golden oldies who have come alive. The previous ministers we mentioned, as well as Galen and Rhodes, Smith, Mata Brown, and I may have missed out a few.
I need to put you on the same song.
belongs in the songbook on page 14. There's an old Shaker song, or Quaker song, that says, "Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear the music ringing. It sounds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing?" Music has always been a vital part of Prairie, as you can see from our service today. But our music in Prairie has always been unique. We have never had any professional singers or performers. We've all been amateurs, members of Prairie. Also, music in Prairie has always adjusted to the needs and the experiences of the Prairie Society. A good example, for example, is our Prairie Songbook. Probably nowhere in the UU Society is there a songbook like this, one of our prides and joys. This songbook was put together by the members of Prairie, especially a committee consisting of Mike Briggs, Holly Nearing, the leadership crew, and I.
Holly Loring. Holly Loring.
Loring.
It would have been nice to have Holly here take part.
And of course, the wonderful counsel we got from Lee Bullen on how to put it together. Not only does the songbook contain traditional Unitarian hymns, but there are many songs suggested by our members or songs that evolved out of Prairie experience. For example, what other church songbook has in it to life, L'chaim? Or Woody Guthrie's, "I'm Gonna Mail Myself to You"? The song we sang a moment ago, Precious Memories, evolved from a musical group we had here, as Dave Meyer well knows, the Prairie Chicken Pluckers. Where have you heard of a church group with a name like that, the Prairie Chicken Pluckers? And at the time, we were interested in bluegrass and old-timey gospel music, so the songbook has a whole section on old-timey gospel music. Or such Shaker songs as "Take My Hand in Brotherly Love" and "Who Will Bow and Bend Like a Willow," which evolved from a wonderful service that Ruth Carlton and Barbara Carson put on. The songbook also contains original songs by Metcha Butler, Annis Pratt, and Dulita. Pat mentioned the hamsters scratching away at the Montessori school. Well, Dulita wrote a song about it.
George, I have to correct you. I didn't write the tune of that.
Okay. So the songbook represents the grassroots participatory nature of Prairie. At the very beginning of Prairie, as Pat mentioned, we were welcomed by that trumpet player playing "When the Saints Go Marching In" as the Prairie members walked in. I don't even remember whether we had a piano in those days. We were sort of as new as a newborn child. I remember vaguely Charlie Davidson playing the harmonica. John Griegrode and I got together and put out a few song sheets. But after a while, many groups emerged from Prairie. There are many choirs and choruses, all of them very short-lived. Shake note choirs, xylo singers, and last but not least, the Prairie Band Singers, organized by Marty Grafkin. Then came along the Prairie Chicken Pluckers. Dave Myers, I, Chuck Young, and the Willers that played old-timey and square dance type music. Dave Meyer not only was a wonderful minister, but he's a terrific guitar player as well. Then there was the Prairie Recorder Group. I think it was founded by Richard Rosnoy. And we had, I don't know how many members who came and went playing in the recorder group. But Ruth called them and Gringrod stuck it out. And if any of you can play the recorder, contact them and they'll revive the Prairie recorder.
Prairie Winds.
Prairie Winds. And then there's a group that many of you don't recall. It was called the Martin Buber Trio. It consisted of Ruth, I, and Rosemary Lester. Martin Buber was a German Jewish philosopher. And he had this philosophy that human relations and our relations with God should be on an I-thou relationship, not on an I-it. In our political campaigns these days, the way the parties manipulate the media and manipulate people, that is strictly an I-it relationship, as if we were bars of soap that they're polishing up and making either good or bad. So we thought that one day, if we persisted, we would each wear t-shirts with Ruth having the letter I, Rosemary, thou, and I would have it. Today we have our ethnic connection, and those of you who were at our party last night know how nice the ethnic connection is. And last but not least, our wonderful Prairie Band. We have had innumerable piano accompanists, but I think mainly of Eileen Nettleton and Mike Briggs as being Not only have we had music, but Prairie has been a dancing society. Arneen may recall services we had devoted entirely to dancing, to say nothing of the dancing at Upper Woods, and I remember a wonderful dance service we had up at the Prairie site many years ago. Prairie is unique also in having had innumerable services on music. I think mainly of Warren Hackstrom and his wonderful services on famous composers, on Mozart, on Schumann, on Tchaikovsky. Mike Briggs had a service entirely on our songbook. I've had services on Beethoven, Pete Seeger, Woody Guthrie, Theodore Rockus, and one great service called The Gospel According to the Prairie Chicken Plumbers. So I'm sure that as long as Prairie exists, music will be close to its heart and soul. How can we keep from singing?
We're also good in the visual arts. And we brought out some of the old visual arts for this service. The behind the screen you have the wall hanging of Prairie Smoke that Lois Hagstrom produced about, what, 10 years ago. We had a service or two devoted entirely to creating quilts, each panel representing a Prairie person or a Prairie family. Peg Barrett did this, there's a date on one of the blankets, 1985, I think it's 85, and old timers can probably find their squares. There's one out. 87, thank you, 87, only 5 years ago. What? It was two separate times, okay. One here, one out there. And we've got lots of great photographers. A year or two ago, Marty Grafton put on a nice program of Prairie photographers in December, and that's a way of introducing Al Nettleton, who has some slides.
Well, not only mine, but several others. Not as many as you might have hoped, more than people. I've worn out at least three cameras on the Prairie, and you don't want to see all of the slides. I promised Warren that I would keep it to one tray. Large tray rather than small. But I will be somewhat arbitrary in moving on. If anyone wants to come back through and see these later, so there's a time, you're all invited. Finally, I will have an evening slide and a query if anyone wants to follow through. So we won't necessarily have time. As Pat said, we start with the prairies. Hilltop in the west of Madison. People want to call out names, people you may know along the way.
That's Bob Keller, the left.
Roland Parrott.
Roland Parrott.
We're not going to have time to ask all of the questions.
Shirley Lake.
Linda Plume.
Which one? primarily we're getting people. It could have been one of our pipelines. Junior,
who's the guy?
Yeah. Oh, who's the one on the right?
Jack.
Oh, and Pat couldn't make it today. Tim Louse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That looks like a
Teddy.
Yeah.
Nancy
McElroy. Oh, this is at this is at the Davidson.
Yeah. 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 4th of July.
No, that was David going away.
I've tried to stick in the building as we've changed. I don't want to have one of Holby Street.
Terry Warren.
Yeah. Dan Warren. Yeah. Yeah, it's close enough. Now, that time Pat did one of my favorite programs. And we'll see from this next slide if anyone can remember the title of the program.
Release the owl.
The title of the program was Share a Creation. Bob Elkins brought in the owl. He had nursed back to health. John Lewis, Marty Grafton.
Herbert.
Part of Prairie's history.
Oh, George.
Dorothy Weatherby.
Very nice.
Martha is now driving a fiber optics ship, laying cable between the West Coast and Asia.
Captain.
Oh, that's great. Failed on that one. Try one more time.
It's like
Dan. Dolores, when you've got buckets to gamba.
Oh,
the teenagers all got out on the balcony at Theron's house.
Oh, that's
hilarious.
David Carson.
Name tags. Very important. Barb. Back this weekend. Red Silence. Yeah. And the red and side one, the red.
Sydney Mannery.
No, that's not. Sydney Mannery.
Oh, Danny Wilkening in the front.
Yeah.
Is that
Anna?
Yes. Oh,
yeah. Oh,
no. Oh, there's Chuck.
Looks like she's a little singer.
Lois? Yeah. Lois down in the back. There you go. That pose. Remember these guys? John and Jeff Lawrence.
Oh. Rachel.
Rachel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
like a
So we looked at all of these plans and up on the curtains. Remember those red curtains?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
No.
Remember those orange chairs?
So we had that meeting that went off up.
There's the start of the band. As far as that was the first band concert.
For those of you that weren't here before, this used to be the front entrance of the building, only that hole wasn't there. So we filled it up with dirt and started the prairie. It grew. Third major remodel was the roof one. It's part of the building. Jumps to this year. Anybody recognize where it is?
That's the horizon.
A lot of you are up far. I do live way too dark. I'm sorry.
It's very dark out
there. Yeah.
It was up to
yeah,
it.
So think of our bottom unit, which is very expensive thousand how it becomes with what was the sky. Think ahead to our future.
About the transition from the first phase where it seemed like we had a decision every week. And during the time we were having it, it seemed to me that we didn't like it. We didn't, it was always a certain amount of tension between those who really didn't want to completely break with the First Society and those who were very anxious to break with the First Society. And then those who wanted to have a church on the prairie and those who didn't want a church on the prairie, and then people who wanted to have a minister and those who would never have a minister. But you know, looking back on it now, I can't speak for anybody else, but there was a lot of growth there, a lot of personal growth for me. It was an important experience with a lot of peers. Not students, I'm a teacher, not students and not parents, but peers, and finding ways to survive and live with them when you disagree. And then there was a later period, I stopped coming in about 1974, But up to that time, maybe say about 70, 71, 72 on, we were consolidating. There were times when we wondered whether we would survive, but we always did. Some of my precious memories are we had an encounter group for a while, and I think I learned some things about myself in an encounter group in Prairie that I didn't learn from any shrink. Then there was also a play reading group where I had a chance again to have an intellectual experience that was also an emotional experience. And then perhaps one of the most important experiences I had was when Dave got us to put on a play. Dave, I can't remember the name of the play, but it was some blind people. Remember? And we spent a lot of time trying to go somewhere, and we ended up where we started. Remember?
By Michael Picky on the Road.
Yeah.
By Michael Blind People.
Yeah. I really learned a lot about myself during that. I think growth is one of the things that I've learned to accept in Prairie. And I think Prairie has been able to, you know, kind of grow out of a shell into a new lifestyle, and then grow out of another shell into another lifestyle. And you may see me again. Thank you.